today. I was seeking the Lord about friendship, and there's all kinds of different relationships and friendships. There's Jonathan and David and the friendship that they had. There's Ruth and Naomi and their friendship that they had as mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. But I wanted to look at the friendship that Jesus had in John chapter 11. And I'll just read it. If you don't have your Bibles, that's fine. It says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who had poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' And when he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.' Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciple, 'Let us go back to Judea.' 'But Rabbi,' they said, 'a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?' Jesus answered, 'There are not 12 hours of daylight. A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light.' And after he had said this, he went on to tell them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up.' His disciples replied, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better.' Jesus had been speaking of his death, but the disciples thought that he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. Let us go to him.' Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.' On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. 'Lord,' Martha said to Jesus, 'if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask.' And Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha answered, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' And Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?' 'Yes, Lord,' she told him. 'I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world.' And after she had said this, she went back, and she called her sister Mary aside. 'The teacher is here,' she said, 'and he is asking for you.' When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village. He was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. But when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. 'Where have you laid him?' he asked. 'Come and see, Lord,' they replied. And Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, 'See how he loved him?' But some of them could not. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man, Lazarus, from dying? So Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb, and it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. 'Take the stone away,' he said. 'But Lord,' said Martha, the sister of the dead man, 'by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there for 4 days.' And Jesus said, 'Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?' So they took the stone away. Then Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me.' And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, 'Take off the grave clothes and let him go.' Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. Can you imagine this whole scenario? Let's pray. God, this is your word. We know it's true. We believe it. This is a miracle, Lord, that took place. But it's so tenderly written, and there's so many things, Lord God, that you want to minister to us this afternoon. So I pray that everything that you want these ladies to hear, Father, that it would go deep down into their spirits, that they would be able just to be refreshed and given a new insight, Lord, into relationships. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I begin to read, and I've read this story, we've all read this story, it's not probably a new story to many, but as I was thinking about friendship and thinking about the relationship that Jesus had with this family, it was a brother and two sisters. In verse 3 it says, the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Now, they didn't say, come to us. They didn't say, please come heal him. They just said, the one you love is sick. It says, when Jesus heard this, he said, this is verse 4, this sickness will not end in death. Now, did the sickness end in death? Yeah, it ended in what kind of death? It ended in his physical death, right? But spiritually, it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And even though Jesus had not been, he had not actually released everybody from Abraham's bosom yet because he hadn't been crucified and resurrected and risen again. Where was Lazarus when he had died? Where did he go? To Abraham's bosom, right? There was a divide because people couldn't go up to heaven, right? There was a divide, and if we've been long enough in Calvary Chapel La Mirada, we've heard the teaching about, you know, there was what, two sides, right? In Abraham's bosom for the ones that believed in God, and the ones who did not believe in God were on the other side where it was very hot, and there was a separation, there was a divide, right? Okay, so the people that were in relationship with God, although Jesus had not been born yet, that's where Lazarus, he was on that side of Abraham's bosom, right? Okay, just want to make sure we all know where he's at. So this sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And it says here too, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So these were his friends. They were people that he loved. Weren't his disciples that were with him like every day. Right? He had disciples for those 3 years that he was ministering, and, you know, 3 years he was with the 12, right? Okay, this is just a family. These are friends of his. He would come to their house and stay. They ministered to him. They loved him. They believed who he said he was. He had relationship with them, right? That's what Jesus wants to come and do with us. He wants to have relationship with us. He wants us to say that we love him, and he wants to say to us that he loves us. And that's so powerful because sometimes our relationship, our understanding of who God is and of who Jesus is messed up in some way. Either the church that we grew up in or the relationship that we've had with our own parents or some way we're kind of skewed, okay? But we have to go back to the Word and we have to read it for what it says. And it says that Jesus loved these people. These were his friends. Do you believe that you are Jesus' friend? Yes. Let me hear it.
Yes.
Good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you don't act like it, though. And that's where I find myself. And it's like, you know, in Revelation where it says that he gives us a new name, right? A name that nobody else knows. Just that intimate relationship that we have with him. Some characteristic about us. And so in my mind, it just goes right to the worst things about myself. I'm like, oh God, please Jesus, I don't want a name like procrastinator, or I don't want a name like, you know, always late, or, you know, I don't want those kinds of names. You know, I want something that's tender and precious. Okay. So now think about someone that you love. It could be a child. It could be someone. And there's a special name that you've given them. You think about that, how precious that is? Like one of my kids, I always call him Sunshine. That's just his name to me. You know, he's just Sunshine. He just makes me, it's like when I see him, I'm just so happy. It's just Sunshine. Okay? Do you guys have a name that someone calls you that's precious? Maybe your little grandbaby, she calls you, you know, some little babuchka or whatever. I don't know what she calls you. But, you know, there's just something that someone calls you, just does something that kind of melts your heart. You know, or if your husband has a little pet name for you and he calls you that name, and it's like so precious or, you know. I know when I was little, my one grandfather, he always called me queen because I was the first granddaughter. And I was just his queen, and that's what he called me, and that was my name. And then when he died, it was so sad because nobody calls me that anymore. You know? It's gone. He's with the Lord, which is great. I'm going to see him again. But that, you know, and it was like painful. Like, oh, no one's going to call me that anymore. But see, Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. And he has a special name for you because he loves you. What could that name be? I want mine to be like, you know, passionate for his glory. Or I want something like real, I don't know, real awesome. But you know, who knows what it's going to be? He only knows. We always think too much about ourselves, right? That you just saw that come out of myself. Okay, so let's keep reading. It says five. It says Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and when he had heard that Lazarus was sick, this was a decision that he made. He stayed there where he was for 2 more days. Now, you can only imagine. Now, think about if you called one of your girlfriends and you were just having this horrible time and you said, I need you. You know, you put out the SOS and they didn't get there for 2 more days. Wouldn't you be bummed out? Wouldn't you feel like they're not really my friend? I mean, I needed them like immediately and they weren't there. And sometimes when we pray with this immediacy, like God needs to do something right now, and then it doesn't happen right now. And then we think, oh, I must not really be on God's, you know, top 10. He must not really love me as much as I thought he did. Or you start to question that about the Lord, okay? And I'm sure that they felt that way too. They were human, right? They were in relationship with Jesus. He was their friend. They had a bond. They ate at each other's house. They served him. They believed who he said he was. Okay, in 7, then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, yet you're going back there. And then he talks about the daylight and all that. And then in 11 it says, and after he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. Now, did Jesus know that he was dead? Physically dead. He knew that, right? But he always just kind of, he said things, and like we read it with they say hindsight is 20/20. Okay? So we're reading it, you know, after the fact, and we can say, well, come on, you ding-dongs. He was just, you know, but they didn't realize, they didn't understand. And if he sleeps, then he's going to get better. And what was Jesus? It says he had been speaking of his death, but the disciples thought he had meant natural sleep. And that happens all through the Gospels. It's truly not until Jesus dies and resurrects and spends 40 days before he ascends that he like puts the whole puzzle together. During that 40 days, he's still teaching and he's still bringing the whole picture of what he had actually done to their memory. Like on the road to Emmaus. He's walking with those guys, and he's kind of talking to them, and those two Jewish guys are talking back and forth, you know, all the stuff that's happened, and he's just kind of asking questions. He's disguised. They can't really see him, who he really is, and they're talking, don't you know what's happened, and, you know, Jesus has been crucified, and we thought this and that and the other thing, and they're talking, and, you know, then what happens? Then it says on that road to Emmaus, he reveals himself to them. He sits there, and he gives them the truth. He sets it straight with them. And that's what he did. He took all this huge... How many of you do puzzles? How many of you do, you know, Yeah, some of you. I know Alice does some big puzzles. You know, those intricate puzzles for the expert, okay? And all those pieces fitting together, that's what Jesus did. It was like a huge puzzle, and he brought it all together and made it understandable in those 40 days. Then 14, so he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there that you may believe, but let us go to him. So what does that mean, that you may believe? What do you think Jesus said that? I'm glad that he died, he's dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, because why? What was he going to do? What was Jesus going to perform? The miracle of all miracles, to raise a dead man. So he had the power to raise the dead. He had the power to raise himself. You know, if you guys read the word, it says that when Jesus resurrected, that the people from the graves resurrected too. Jesus was not the only one. What? What are you saying? I've never read that before. You got to go back to the word. You got to read. And it's just like, wow, the power that Jesus had when he resurrected himself, that other people resurrected as well. So here's just a little foretaste of what he was going to do, so that you may believe. Because what was happening with the disciples? I mean, they were following Jesus, and they believed, but yet what? What was going to happen? I mean, Jesus, we haven't even gotten to the garden yet when he, you know, the ear gets cut off, and they take him away, and he go, okay, so there's, what's going to happen to the disciples? As they're moving towards the cross, they're following him, they're seeing these signs and wonders, they're seeing miracles happen, people are getting saved, Jews are getting saved, there's all these people, Gentiles are getting saved, people are getting saved. And then as it gets closer and closer to the cross, what happens to the disciples? They scatter, right? They get afraid, okay? So he's showing them something, because why? That you may believe. Because still, they didn't really, they knew he was a prophet. They believed what he said, but they still weren't really fully aware of what was really going on. So he was doing this miracle, that you may believe. Let us go to him. And so then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. What did that mean? See, he was mixed up. It's like, what is he talking about? You're not going to... So anyways, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Okay, so we know back then, and especially just being in Israel, you know, we went to the garden tomb. Now, do we know for sure that that was the place? That's one thing when you go to Israel. You don't know, like... You know, when you look at the history, okay, you've got the Jews there, and then the Jews get kicked out. And then you have the Romans there, and then the Romans get kicked out. And then you have, you know, you just have the Muslims came in, and they got kicked out. And then you have the Christian era, okay? And Catherine was the mother of who? Who? Okay. Constantine. So he made Christianity like... Everything was Christian, right? So here his mom comes, and there was nothing written down, right? She just asked people, word of mouth. Well, where was Jesus buried? Okay, then she put a church there. Oh, where did this miracle happen? And then she put a church there. And so you go to these places, and there's just like churches where they think everything happened. It's the weirdest, strangest thing. So you think about the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And all the olive trees, and remember, we know that story, right? Jesus was there and he wept. And so you go to this place that's supposed to be, but then there's this church, and then they have a little wall, and they have about 8 of the trees. And of course, you know, these are the trees where, you know, Jesus prayed. And then you go down the road a little bit, and then here's another church, and they have a little grove of olive trees, and these are the trees that Jesus prayed in. And then, you know what I'm saying? So it's like you really... It's not what you think. It's not like you just walk up there and you just see all these trees. I mean, you really have to go back in your mind and say, okay, this is the area that probably all these trees were decimated at one time, and now there's more trees that have come back up, and this was the area. We know it's the area because we know that when Jesus comes back, he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives, and he's going to be able to go right into the gate, the Golden Gate, right? Which is all closed up now, and they have a graveyard and stuff in front of it. But so that's what you have to kind of get your mind around. So here they are. They were confused. He's in the tomb, and I said garden tomb because, you know, it's, we don't know that that was exactly where Jesus was buried at the garden tomb, but it was that kind of a tomb. It's just a big rock. I mean, a big opening, and they have places where like you could lay a body and then they would put the rock in front of it. Okay. So obviously this family was wealthy, right? We know that because most people didn't get a burial like that, right? Okay. So they found him in the tomb for 4 days. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Okay, who were many of the Jews that had come to visit Mary and Martha? Who were those people? Those were Mary and Martha's friends. Isn't that what we do for one another when someone dies? If someone dies, don't you bring them food? Don't we do ministry over here? Don't we, have a memorial service here? And right? Isn't that what we do for friends? If someone dies, don't you just want to like bake a casserole? That's like the first thing you think, or go buy something and take some food over to their house. Same idea. These were their friends. So there's this whole relationship of friends going on to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Mary heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, is that true? She believed. She had faith, didn't she, to believe that if Jesus had come, he would not have died. But the reason that he waited, and which we see a little bit later, what was the reason? If you guys that have your Bibles, what was the reason that he waited? Say it again, a little bit louder. Okay. So that he would receive the most glory. Okay. And I think that's something that I would say probably within the last, I don't know, in my Christian walk, maybe the last 3 or 4 years that the Lord's been revealing to me, that the things that I'm going through, they're not for myself. They're for God to receive the maximum amount of glory. You understand what I'm saying? So the things that are happening in your lives, the things that are happening with your friends, the things that are happening with your family members, with your kids, with your grandkids, it's not just for them or for you. It's for the greater glory of God because we are saved. And our lives now are not our own. We belong. We've been bought with the price, with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, he bought us. He purchased us. We are his. And so now he has free reign, free rule and reign to do whatever he wants to do with this mortal body to receive the maximum amount of glory. So if he chooses to take me home to be with him, then that's for his glory. Who knows? And we've all been at funeral services where people get saved. How many of you have been to a funeral service where you've seen people get saved? I mean, is that the most amazing thing? Here you're mourning over the death of this person, but you know what? My husband does the best funeral services. If you guys die, make sure he does your service. He does great weddings and great funerals. But the funerals are like, you know, you guys know, I mean, you love him. I love him. He's our pastor. He just teaches with just ease and grace and love, and he just lays it out like so simply, and people just can't even believe it. And then they want it too. Because that's what the person wanted. That person died. They're with the Lord. They're fine. They're happy. They're great. But it's for everybody that's left behind. And that person who passed, just like Lazarus, what God was going to do, he was going to raise him. It was his friend. He loved Mary. He loved Martha. He was going to raise him. But he waited so that what? The disciples believed in him. Mary and Martha and Lazarus believed in him. But who was it for? Yeah, it says that it was for them to believe too. But who else was it for? It was for all of their friends. It was for all of the people that were mourning. They mourned for like 7 days. I mean, they mourned for like a long time. They have the Jews have like a program for everything. So there's just a way you mourn when someone dies, you know. But they're there. They're mourning. These are their friends. And just like you guys, you know, you are friends of the Lord. And your life means something to Jesus. And when you die, you're going to go to be with the Lord because it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But your funeral service is for all of your friends. So even if you weren't able to share with someone at work, or even if you weren't able to share with someone in your family, you wanted to, God never gave you the opportunity. Still, on the day that you die, they're going to hear the gospel. Isn't that awesome? They're still going to have the chance to accept Jesus, even after you're gone from this life, for the glory of God. So anything that happens to you, you get sick, you have an accident, your house burns down, you know what? Just say to yourself, God, all for the glory of you. What you have belongs to Him anyways. If you truly believe everything that you have belongs to Him anyways, and you walk around like this, your kids, your health, your job, your life, your retirement, your friends, your family, your loved ones, everything belongs to the Lord if you're His child, if you're His friend. He loves you. And He's going to allow things for His glory. Let's just click that over in our mind. Because it's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about the Lord. You know, it says that, you know, a true friend walks in when everybody else has walked out. When you're at your deepest, darkest pit, feeling horrible about yourself or about a situation, and you feel like you have no friends, God, He's always there. But you know what? He's so faithful to send a friend, isn't He? He's so faithful. Someone sends you an email. Someone sends you a text. Someone calls you up on the phone. Someone drops something off at your house. You know that He's there. Now, let me ask you guys this. Do you ever put little fleeces out before the Lord? Do you ever find yourself doing that? Now, I know that the Lord is true. I know He's real. I'm fully convinced, but this morning, I was laying in bed, and I have a beautiful view out my bedroom window, and there's no houses back behind us, and it's just a hillside with trees and everything, and there's this one little patch of ground, and I didn't have my glasses on. As you get older, things like all blur together, but I know there's this one little patch of ground. And I said, Lord, I would just love to see a little animal cross by there. I know you're real, and I know that you're so busy, and you don't need to hear the but. There's squirrels, there's rabbits, there's deer, there's bobcats, there's skunks, can you just put a little animal across there just so I know that I'm on the right track with the ladies today? You know, I know you don't have to do this, Lord, and I'm just laying there watching, and I kind of looked away, you know, and I just kept watching again, and I said, okay, Lord, it's all right. I still believe in you anyway. And sure enough, there came a little animal right across. And I just thought, Lord, you're such a good friend. You know, you're such a good friend. I didn't need that little animal to go by, but He gave it to me anyways. And, you know, that's what a friend does, right? It's not even like maybe something that you need, but they just bless you. I want you guys to bless one another in this church. I want you to love that, the concept that Jesus is your friend and that He loves you and He's concerned about you. Let's keep going. It says, this is the faith of Martha. Now, I love her faith. And when you look at Martha and Mary, I'm definitely more of a Martha. I want to be more like Mary. But she says, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. She had faith. She believed it. And He said, your brother will rise again. And He told her the truth. And Martha answered, I know He will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And that's what I want to end with today. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? It says that to have eternal life, you have to believe first what Jesus said about Himself, that He is God. And that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you don't get there any other way except this little tiny narrow path of believing that Jesus Christ died for your sin. Once you believe that and you accept that, hey, you know what? I'm a sinner and I need His shed blood. So simple. A child can do it. I need the shed blood for my sin. How many of you have sinned? I mean, like on a daily basis? Yeah, like, Okay, so we all know we're sinners. I mean, even children know. Even children know that when they do something wrong. So you know, you can fool yourself, but we all have to come to a place where we say, you know what, you're right. I messed it up, and I am on my way to hell. But you know what? Jesus Christ died for me in my place, and I'm going to accept what he did. His blood is going to covered over everybody's sin, but you have to receive it. And I receive it. So simple. I'm going to read that again to you guys. This is what he said to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. And I love this. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God that has come into the world? That's where the rubber meets the road. You either believe it or you don't. But if you believe it, you have eternal life. And anything that happens to you is going to be for the glory of God. That's the path that I want you guys to be on. That's the kind of friend that you want. The kind that will forgive you of all your sin. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So if anyone's here today and you haven't given the opportunity to the Lord to come in and forgive you of your sin. If you haven't, you can think about it, you can read about it, but you know what? You got to speak it with your mouth. I am a sinner. I need God's forgiveness, and I believe that he died on the cross for my sin. Come into my heart. So simple. But you know what? It all has to do with our pride. It all has to do with, you know what? Do I really believe what the Word of God says? Do I really believe I'm a sinner? I believe I'm a sinner. I know I am. But I'm a forgiven sinner. God's forgiven me. And so that's my prayer this morning, that if anyone here is not saved, that you come forward and we're going to lay hands on you and we're going to pray. But you know what? You're going to speak it with your own mouth. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I accept your death on the cross for my sin. So simple. But you know what? That's what friends are for, just to show the love. So if someone needs to come forward, bring a friend. Bring your friend down if they don't know Jesus. And let's pray. Does everyone in here know the Lord? Is there someone that I need to pray for that doesn't know Jesus? He would love to be your friend today. You can raise your hand. It's okay. All right, why don't we stand up together and let's all grab hands. Grab hands. And just to be sure, we're all going to say a sinner's prayer together, okay? So just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe that you are the one and only God who paid the price for my sin by shedding your blood for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're my friend. Thank you that everything that happens to me can be for your glory. Thank you for this day. Thank you for my friends that are next to me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, girls, you are the absolute awesome best. I love you, love you, love you. You love each other, and just don't leave. If you haven't gotten a hug, hug someone. They will hug you back. Do not leave this room without a hug. See you tomorrow.